The Gemara has a suffix, is it in the honor of the people, is it the honor for the one who's nifter? The halacha is, it's kovet hames. And the purpose of a hesped is what we could learn from the nifter and take with us. As you know, when a person dies, the expression is shabak chayim l'kol chay, which means his koiches are left behind, so to speak, and you can grab them now. They're available. And there's something interesting about when a person dies that now he's looked upon it as his real spiritual essence is what comes out. For example, the Gemara says when a person dies and someone else witnessed the p'tira of that person, as if he's witnessing the burning of a sefer Torah. Right? It's like Gemara in two places. I'm not aware that a Jew who's alive is called a sefer Torah. But when he's nifter, he's a sefer Torah. Tamechach dies, everyone's like close to him. What happens when he's alive? Right? That's not so much so. But what's the understanding of that? The understanding is that when a person's in this world, the name of Hazeh, his physical part, the fact that he's here in a physical manner, disguises a bit his spiritual point. But once he's nifter, we can focus clearly, in a clearer way, on his ruchnis dimensions. I guess it goes back to Rashi says the Chumash for Yitzer with two yudim, Yitzir lo Yom Hazeh and Yitzir lo Yom Haba. Once a person finished his Yitzir at Yom Hazeh, he's already now into the mode of what's waiting for him in Yom Haba, which is his spiritual essence, and therefore it's we can evaluate maybe a little bit clearer. That's probably what the Hesbet's trying to do. As Rabbi Timchi said, and I want to start before the Chsanya, it's a beautiful thing that the Neri Yisrael Shul is doing this night. It just shows so much of the character of this place and of the openness of the Rabbi, the Rav, open to all what's happening and understanding that the top mechanech was nifter and we should do something about it, which is really kol hakavod. Personally, like Rabbi Kim himself pointed out, I had a very, very close keshe with Rav Kugman over almost 30 years. As Rav Kimke pointed out, my wife studied the Mechila, my sister studied the Mechila, my mother would have studied, she was just born too early. Luger, she would have been available, she would have studied as well. And also, personally, I got so much from him. And when I started learning Chumash Rashi, and I wrote down my sheets, so people told me there's a Jew called Rav Yehuda Krugman. Mail it to him. He's going to respond. And I did respond, mail it to a few people, and the only one who responded was Rav Krugman. And as if he has all the time in the world. And then he called me after a few years over, when I was corresponding with him in mail. I was 24, 25 years old, and they offered me to become a teacher of the Mechila, which for me was, wow, I didn't expect that. And then I was there for over 20 years. And then when I started working on the Maharal Swarm, the first one I took, I consulted, was Rav Kugman. The first one I remember was Shabbos Parshas Tazria, the Tov Shin Mem Zayin. And I thought about it during Shabbos, and then was Betsy Shabbos Abdallah. The first individual I called up was Rav Kugman. And I said, what do you say, Rav? And then, when I started getting a little bit, people were bashing me. Such a young person dealing with the Maharal. What kind of chutzpah is that? The Holy of Holies. So Rav Kugman was there again to tell me, this is what happens, don't worry, and go on. So I had a real awe towards that man, and I want to speak about a few points that we could learn from Rav Kugman. He told me a few times that whatever Gemara is for boys, Torah for the Tzavs should become for girls. That was his motto. He always used to tell me, don't speak down, speak up. Namely, if you're speaking to girls, don't think they don't understand. They're very intelligent, despite the fact that they're females. And you gotta speak to them at their level and stretch them. Of course, package it maybe in a different way, but look at them as extremely bright individuals. We know when we say that a rav, the teacher has to be like a malach, right? The Gemara says in Maseches Chagiga, if the Rav is like a malach, learn Torah from him. And if he's not like a malach, do not learn Torah from him. How do we know how a malach looks like? How can we know if the Rav is like a malach or not? What's the definition of a malach? But I think Rav Kuperman personifies the answer. We know one thing about malachim. We know ein malach echad oseh shtei shlichuyot. A malach does not do two jobs, two missions. He does one. Rav Kuperman, his whole essence was his teaching, his talmidot, and nothing, his whole life was devoted to that. He was a malach. That's what he spoke about, mihaboker ad ha'erev. He was a teacher per excellence. He told me, never come. A shir has to start on time and finish on time. It has to be both. I don't think I followed that rule in the first part, but the second part it was very much about the finish on time. And the way he treated his talmidot, Ezo Amchubad Hamchabed, what's the last one of them? Abriot. He again personified that. He was such an anav and such a tzadnua and so respectful to everyone, the way he treated the teachers. So I want to speak about the few aspects of Kuperman as a teacher, as the head of the Michlana. His ruach was everywhere, even though the Michlana had over 200 teachers. But it was Kuperman who shaped it. The Michlana really was a spit image of Kuperman himself. The library in the Michlana. There's no school in the world that has such a library. It's one of the best libraries in the world. It's definitely one of the best libraries in Yerushalayim. And you could wonder, does the Sem have to have such a rich library? Rav Kuperman said yes. Why? Because once he told me also an insight, which is very very appropriate to this idea. He said he thinks children should learn Chumash from a Mikra's Dodos. Namely, there's a Chumash Rashi, Aram is 25 Mepharshim. The kids are going to learn only Chumash Rashi. They should not learn Chumash just from Chumash Rashi, printed Chumash Rashi. It should be a Mikra's Dodos. Why? The child should know that there's so much more. If you just printed Chumash Rashi and you learn Chumash Rashi, some of you may think, I know it. I don't think wrong anymore. I mean, tell your dad, that's it. But if he learns from the Mikra's Dodos and he's just learning Chumash Rashi, oh, there's so many other Mepharshim which I haven't even touched. And when you know that there's so much more, that's where you really grow. As a writer, as what he wrote, look at all the Svarim that he wrote, the Meshech Chachma. He opened up the Sefer that Litvish Shagurim. And always revising and always checking it out, and always a new edition and a new edition and a new edition. Never said, okay, I printed it, this out. Always the same thing with the Sforno, the commentary of the Sforno. And you wonder, a man that's so busy, how does he have time to take upon himself such writings? And then Sugyot B'Torah, and then Lipshuto Shemikha, and then Chamesh Parshiot Shenel Muni Meshu Rabbeinu, and what he wrote, the literature they left behind, it's amazing. And Am Yisrael is benefiting from it also. The idea that Rav Kuperman tells us is, a person who cares, look what he could accomplish. In Chinuch HaBonis, thousands, literally thousands of Yiddish homes are there because of him. The idea, I would want, maybe want to bring out the idea, but I always spoke to Rav Kuperman, what I felt. I felt, maybe I'll say over a little story to bring it out. I was once in São Paulo, Brazil, and I was there in the city for 7 hours, and I had to take a plane. So for 7 hours, I do have family in São Paulo, but I didn't want to bother them for 7 hours, so I went to a shul, where I could just be there for a few hours. So it happens to be it was the duplicate of the 770 in São Paulo. And they have a wonderful, wonderful library there. And I was there for about 2-3 hours, and then someone gave me a pen on the back.
And so would you like to see a clip of the Rebbe? Would you like to see a clip of the Rebbe? So I said, is it live or what? He said, oh, it's a clip. Okay, I'll see one. And you know what the thing was on that clip? And this is what Kurban. It starts with the scene of the Rebbe giving out dollars on that Sunday morning. And there's an American gvir coming together with the local shliach of Chabad in that little city in America. And you see how the Rebbe is interacting with this, with these people. And, okay, this part's like a skip. And then the point that this local gvir tells the Rebbe, we're very appreciative of what the shliach is doing in our little town. And as a result of that, I gave a very nice contribution to Beit Chabad. Fine. Then the Rebbe points to them and says, I want to tell you, whatever you are doing, and whatever the shliach of Chabad is doing, you could do double. And the thing was, whatever anybody in this room is doing, I promise you, you could do double. How could I? I hardly manage what I'm doing now. You could do double. How do you know you could do double? Because the people who do double. That's a fact. Aren't the people in the world that do double than you do? They have the same 24 hours that we have. And Rav Kuhn, whenever I would think to myself sometimes, oh, I'm tired. I need to chill. When's the last time Rav Kuhn chilled? He opened up he was the first one that started Chinuch Habanis and brought it up to a level of Torah Shebiksav with the Masorah of Torah Shebalpeh, and it's all Dvar Elokim, it's all Misinai, pure Yerushalayim for girls in Eretz Yisrael, from girls abroad, the Machlek program, the Israeli program, 1 year, 2, 3, 4 years, now they have Machlek Gvarim for the last couple of years. And he was going Michayim El Chayim his whole life, writing one sefer after another. Still had enough time with people. All that he accomplished. So whenever I think to myself next time, you know, maybe I should take a break. Bank holiday, and then a midterm, and then a winter holiday, and then a half term, and then this and that. And Sundays, I just can't without Sundays. That's just not shy. We're corporate in Sundays. I envy the people that could go up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after their life and tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asiti Shlichutcha. I did your shlichus that you gave me, the mission that you gave me. And I think Rav Kuhn is one of those people. He could go up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu what I did. Look at how much Batei Em and Batei Ab and Am Yisrael are a result of the Moshe that I built. Look how many Svarim and Lomdei Torah I reached through my Svarim. And he really could be very, very proud of himself. I think that's what we should take from tonight, from what Rav Kuhn, his Midas is another point. As I mentioned it before, whenever you went to visit him, he gave you the feeling that you did him the biggest favor in the world. When you went to visit him, Rav Kuhn, I think he once told me that also. That Nakuda, right? And he was so honored that you came to visit him, even if you're 30 years younger than him. His Yiras Shamayim, he never missed a minyan. Such a busy man never missed a minyan. Shachis Mincha Ma'ariv, around the week, never missed a minyan. His Dikdukin Halacha, and with all that, he had the biggest sermon in the world on his head. And he was matzliach to do everything in a very, very special way. I think we could learn from that, and each one of you that probably spoke to Rav Kuhn and remembers what he told, the conversation that he had. Take with you something tonight maybe and say, I'm going to take this from him. Because again, Shabbat Chai Mekol Chai, it's available. Just grab it. It's there now. The Milas and the Oitzus of Rav Kukman are, so to speak, available now to grab. And he never rested on his laurels to say, I did enough. Never. You learned this year Chumash Rashi? Wonderful. Next year Chumash Sforno. The following year Chumash Rashban. He was a man that interested in anything interested in. When you tell him about Torah, it could be the Maral, it could be the Taz, it could be the Deep, it could be the Nachas Yaakov, it could be. He was always so interested. And that's, these are the kriches that he left behind, which are available. And Bezrat Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should look at this oilam, and look at all the Talmidot, and look at all the he already told me that he took granddaughters of Talmidot, meaning three generations. How many people can say that? And in Mitzvah Hashem, all his schiyot should be a benitzio for him, and for his family, and for Kol Klal Yisrael.